So we're going to be looking at 1 Peter, and as many of you know, we've been following this Bible reading challenge. We are in the last chapter of 1 Peter, so we are almost there. And I'm sure that somehow, if it turns out, hopefully not, but if it turns out we can't have the skating party, that will be postponed. And I'm sure Jen will work something out so that all of us can participate during that time. If you've completed the Bible reading challenge, of course, that is. But moving into chapter 5 is really an exciting point that Peter is getting to as he's writing this. So we're going to be reading, I'm just going to start reading at verse 1 of chapter 5 for today. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witnesses of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. It's interesting that as we're leading up to the last chapter of this letter, that there's something that Peter's doing that is quite interesting when he gets to this last time. Because one of the things that we understand is that the entire book of 1 Peter is about our behavior. And he's giving correction to the ones he's writing to, telling them how they shouldn't act and telling them how they should act, especially when they're under persecution. Because his recipients were going through a situation they didn't expect, that his recipients were going through a situation they didn't understand, and they were questioning and they were complaining and they were looking for a way out. And Peter's writing to them saying, no, now remember, you, regardless of your situation, you are still to be Christian. Regardless of your situation, you are still to be Christ-like. You're still to exemplify Christ regardless of what you're going through, even if it is the direct persecution that they were facing. I saw someone post on social media yesterday a comment. They said, they started off by saying, I'm sorry. They said, I'm sorry, I just can't see that there's any real persecution taking place in the United States. And I guess there's some truth to that. There's probably a lot of truth to that. It's probably 100% true, because many of us in our culture, we talk about persecution. We talk about rights being taken away. We talk about different things happening, but it's not anything compared to what we see happening in other cultures during this day. And it certainly isn't anything compared to what the recipients of Peter were going through. So even in that situation, as dire as it was, Peter's writing this to them. Now, when we get to chapter 5, what's happening here is that he is giving his credentials. Has anyone ever asked you for your credentials before? In other words, one way that somebody would ask for your credentials, and somebody has said this to me before, I've said it often, is who died and made you the boss? Anyone ever hear anything like that? By the way, the chat is open right now for a couple minutes. If you want to reply, if anyone's ever said that to you, just say a thumbs up or a yes, anything like this. Has anyone ever said, who are you to tell me what to do? Has anyone ever questioned your right to instruct somebody else because they're saying, well, you don't know. What about this one? You have no idea what I'm going through, so you have no right to tell me how I am to act. That happens a lot, doesn't it? And I look for it at many times. I want people's credentials. I want to know what happens behind people. I want to know what their history is before they just jump in and just tell me something like that and give me instruction. I'm saying, well, who are you and who made you the boss? And do you have a right to tell me what to do? Do you have a right to instruct me? So Peter, probably by the time he's getting to the end of this letter, he's probably thinking, I wonder if it's crossing their mind now where they're saying, you know what? Who is Peter anyway? Why should we listen to this guy? He just wrote us this letter. What gives him the right to say anything? Well, he gives his credentials. And here they are. Verse 1, therefore. Now remember, you know that therefore is all about, this is based on what he said all before now, which means he's talking about all the instructions that I've given you about the idea of that it's better to suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong. And that Christ was our example because he went to the cross and he's the one who suffered, and that you should follow the same example and you should do it without complaint and you shouldn't be surprised at the ordeal among you. And Peter's just been hammering that on them over and over, saying you shouldn't be surprised. Suffering is a good thing. It's God working in your life, and it's the same way with Christ. And it's by following the example of Christ, because the same thing happened to him. And that alone is such a powerful message, such a convicting message to us, isn't it? When we think about that, and we think about what's happening, and we think about the concept of him telling these people who are going through horrific persecution, all because of their faith, and he's saying, hey, don't complain. Hey, don't be surprised that this is happening to you. Hey, suffering this way is good. Where's the good in it, Peter? We don't understand. And then he says, because Christ did the same thing, he went through the same thing, and then Christ even told us, told you that you were going to suffer. So that just that message alone is so convicting. And then he gets here to the final chapter and he starts with therefore, which means he's connecting what he has said, everything he has said up until now. Now he's going to give the final point and the final conclusion. But before he does so, he gives his credentials. And here they are. He says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder. In other words, he's saying, I'm an elder as well. Now, the term elder in the Greek specifically refers to somebody who is older. But technically, you can see as you go down through the passage that Peter's using this contextually in the context. He's using it to explain the overseer, somebody who's a pastor like myself, somebody who's leading in ministry, somebody who may be leading a Sunday school class, even whatever it might be. He's somebody that's overseeing. And he's saying, by the way, before you forget, I want you to understand I'm one as well. So I kind of know what I'm talking about. That's what Peter's saying. You see, you should listen to me because I'm an elder as well. Now, not only is that true, but then he says, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ. You see, we may even forget who this person is that's writing this, because you remember who this guy was, right? He was with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He followed Jesus. He was one of Jesus' disciples. And in fact, it was him that Jesus told him, on you, I'm going to build my church. The word Peter even references rock. It's the whole concept of rock. On this rock, you're the foundation I am going to build my church upon. And so Peter's reminding them that, hey, I am one of you. I'm a minister as well. I'm an overseer as well. So I have a right to say something. And not only that, but I have experienced and witnessed the sufferings of Christ. How did he witness the sufferings of Christ? Because, you know, we know not everybody was at the foot of the cross. We know it was just John and Mary as far as the disciples and the family of Jesus that was there. So what was it that Peter witnessed? Well, Peter, you remember, he was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, it was Peter, James, and John that Jesus would take with him. That was his inner circle that he would take, and they were the ones that would pray. And when they came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with the soldiers, you remember, Peter was the one who took his sword out and said, I'm not going to let this happen. And I'm going to make sure they don't take Jesus. And I'm going to make sure they don't crucify Jesus. And he tried to do some damage, cutting off the ear. And Jesus, as you know, put the ear back on with his miraculous power and then just turned to Peter and said, no, that isn't how we're going to operate. And then Peter had to realize he was wrong, number one. And then number two, he had to just sit by and watch them take his master away. And then he was brutally beaten, and they had the staff on his head and the crown of thorns were on his head, and they beat him. And Peter watched that from a distance, and to think that he wasn't even able to protect or to defend the person that he loved so much, the person that he grew to love, and he didn't quite know what to do. See, he witnessed the sufferings of Christ. Now, there's something else that could be implied there, is that he may not just be referring to, no one knows this for certain, but he may not just be referring to the sufferings of Christ that Peter actually saw himself, but also he himself as a disciple and now as an apostle has suffered because of following Jesus as well. And he's saying he's a partaker. He's a witness of the sufferings of Christ. So Peter's building his case, saying, this is why it's important for you to listen to me. And then he moves in and he says, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. So he's saying that I'm an elder, I'm an overseer like you are, so you should listen to me. I have witnessed the sufferings of Christ, and I also have suffered myself because of my faith in Christ. And I'm a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. So what is the third credential? Well, the third credential he's saying here is he's saying that he is part of the body of Christ, that he is partaking in the glory. Now, what can we point to with that? Well, you remember Peter when he's walking with Jesus, and this is after everything's done. Jesus had died, and he rose, and Jesus is with Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him three times. We don't have to get to time today to get into all the specifics of that passage. But what that was doing, that was reinstituting Peter back into the body of Christ, because you know that Peter was the one who, when he was watching it from a distance, he didn't want to go through the pain at the time as well. And so he denied Jesus three times. And so now Jesus is saying, he's saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You denied me three times. Can you admit you love me? You love me now three times. And Peter, of course, answered in the affirmative each time. Yes, yes, and yes. Which means that Peter is now a partaker. He's part of the body. Because, you know, somebody could have easily been reading this letter and spoke up and said, well, hey, wait a minute. Isn't he the one that denied Christ? I don't think we should listen to him. But he's explaining here that not only is he an elder, but he's a witness of Christ himself, Christ's sufferings and his own sufferings, and he is a partaker in the glory that is to come. So if you were to summarize this first verse of the credentials of chapter 5 that Peter is giving, putting out there, the summary would be, are you ready? Everybody ready? I want everyone to hear this. Everyone pay attention, okay? Pay attention. This is very close. This is very, very powerful, very, very important that you, if you don't miss anything else, if you miss anything else from this sermon, go ahead and miss it, but don't miss this part. This is when Peter in chapter 5, 1 Peter, verse 1, what he is saying is, are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Listen to me. Did you get that? That's what he's saying. Listen to me. Think about for that for a moment. Have you ever tried to get somebody's attention and you just couldn't get it? And you were just trying to get something across and maybe they were distracted. Maybe they were watching TV. Maybe they were reading something. Maybe they were on their phone and you tried nicely a few times and you couldn't do it. Or do you remember the commercial that was out just a couple years ago? I don't even remember what they were advertising, to be honest. But there was a scene where they were sitting there eating at a fancy restaurant and the waiter walked by and they motioned for the waiter, said, "Oh, waiter." And he didn't respond and walked by him and said, "Oh, waiter." And I think it happened about three times until they just stuck their foot out, tripped the waiter, and the waiter fell through the window. Because they were to get their, that was their way of getting the waiter's attention. Now, I don't want anybody, now we're doing social distancing, so it's only curbside right now. But once restaurants are open, I don't want anybody to go, "Well, I tripped the waiter because Pastor Chad told me." No, that's not what I'm saying. So listen to the context, please, of what's actually being said here. And that it was that they were trying to get the waiter's attention. You've probably been in that situation before where you're sitting at a restaurant and you're trying to get their attention and you're trying your best and you don't want to be rude, but you really can't. And you would love it if you would just say, "Waiter, this is the 10th time I called you. I want a refill. Now. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but many years ago, I was in a restaurant. I was down at a camp meeting. We were in Indiana, I believe it was. And we went out, the speakers, and I was an intern at the time. So I went with the evangelists. I was very young, and they were experienced evangelists. And we're sitting there at this table with all the district superintendent, the evangelist, myself, a group of pastors, all went out to eat one evening during this camp meeting time. And so we're all there. And all of the sudden, we're just sitting there enjoying our meal. There's no issue. And I hear from behind me, somebody screams. And I mean scream. And she goes, "Excuse me. You. Yes, you." And of course, my back was facing that way. They were facing this way. They could see it, what was happening. I had no idea. So I just kind of looked around and this lady is pointing out a waitress she is very upset with. She says, "Yes, you." She says, "We have been here for 18 minutes and no one has even looked our way. We have had no water." And that is exactly the cadence in how she said it too. The whole restaurant could hear what she was saying. And then the waitress was saying, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm doing the best I can. I'm going as fast as I can. I'll get to you as soon as I can." Because that was a very busy time. And we understand that. That person was trying to get their attention. Right, is the point. They were trying to get their attention. Listen to me. Don't overlook what I am saying. And I want you to think about the times in your life where somebody tried to tell you something valuable. Somebody tried to tell you something important, but you ignored it and you went on with your life. How many of us out there, especially adults, teens as well, probably, maybe kids, it could tie into children as well. How many of you ever looked back and said, "Man, I should have listened to so-and-so." How many of you ever looked back and said, "Wow, my mom was right. My dad was right. My high school teacher that I couldn't stand was right. If I would have just listened to them." You see, what Peter's doing here when he's getting to chapter 5 is quite similar to the person who tripped the waiter and they fell through the window. And it's similar to that lady in the restaurant who said, "You, yeah, you." You see, Peter's making sure he's saying, "Listen to me. We don't want you to miss what is about ready to be said." Peter's saying, "This is the reason you should listen to me. I'm just not writing this haphazardly. I'm just not sitting down and just thinking, oh, this would be nice to write a letter. No, what I'm doing is I'm sitting down and I'm writing a letter and I'm writing this as a fellow elder and I'm writing this as someone who witnessed the sufferings of Christ. I was actually there and I'm writing this as someone who experienced the sufferings of Christ. And I'm writing this as one who was reinstituted by Christ. And so that I am a partaker in the same glory as him. So you should listen to what I have to say. So here's the question. Are we? Are we listening to what Peter has to say? And let's expand that a little bit. Are we listening to what the scriptures have to say? You see, because one of the things that is so important about the scriptures is that it is shouting. The fact is the Holy Bible. It's the Bible that God has given us. When you open it up, it is shouting, saying, listen to me. And how often, how many times do we close it, or we close the Bible app, or we aren't even concerned about it, and we read it, we enjoy it, and we move on. You see, this is what happened when we talk about the resurrection and we're celebrating the Resurrection Sunday. There were so many people who were shouting. They were shouting, listen to us. He is not dead. He has risen just as he said. And there were still people who refused to believe it, even when the evidence was right in front of them. I don't even know if Peter needed to give his credentials here. I mean, this letter is anointed by God. But by him doing so, he's creating a platform to say, listen to what I have to say. And then, of course, the rest of the chapter that we'll get into at another time. But the rest of the chapter is all about all of you are to be humble. But the main point in this Resurrection Sunday today is that, you know, we come together and we celebrate, right? We come together and we celebrate, praise God, and we just sang together, which is great, and we worship and we just celebrate the resurrection. But if the resurrection doesn't make a difference in who we are, and if the resurrection doesn't make a difference in our behavior and what we do, and if the resurrection doesn't cause us to be humble, as Peter is saying, then our celebration is just kind of half-hearted. You see, even at a time like this, what God is convicting myself of is that, hey, let's get back to the Word. Let's get back to the Scriptures. There's so many things that I expect in my life. There's so many things I desire. But God's saying, hey, listen to me. Get back to the Word. Get back to the Scriptures, because that's where the basis of your Christianity lies. So the greatest thing that all of us can do here on this Resurrection Sunday is to make a commitment before God and say, Jesus, your word is so powerful. Jesus, your word is true. And not only am I going to commit to reading it more, but I am also going to commit to doing what it says and applying the behaviors that you ask for in my life, which begins with humility and begins with me saying, this isn't about me, but this is all about you. One of the greatest dangers there is in our world today is self-centeredness. And, you know, you would think that when Peter's writing to those who are under persecution, you would think that there was no self-centeredness because they're under persecution. Who can be self-centered and selfish when they're under persecution? But you've probably noticed it. I've noticed it, that even during this time of quarantine and lockdown, there's been people out there just trying to push themselves up to make sure they're known. And even in a time like this, self-centeredness can still rule the day. And what's amazing about the idea of self-centeredness is that it has nothing to do with the situation we are in. It has everything to do with who we are inside. So on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to ask you to join me in saying, Jesus, would you forgive us for any self-centeredness that we have, any selfishness that we have, any arrogance that we have that is beyond what you require of us, and that us together, we are going to commit to your word and commit to your scriptures and listen and heed to you shouting at us saying, listen to me. We are going to commit that together. Would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth. And Lord, we thank you today that this day is a day that we can celebrate. That this day is a day that we can acknowledge that this is when you conquered death. And we worship you and we praise you because of that, because you are the only hope that we have. But on this same day, Jesus, we don't want any of our celebration, we don't want any of our singing or our worship of you to be hollow. We want at the same time on this Resurrection Sunday to say we commit to be servants of your word more than we ever have, especially in the situation that we find ourselves in now that is difficult, that we will be servants of your word and we will commit to applying your word to our life. And it begins with you reminding us and making us humble so that we can put you first. Lord, I pray once again you would remind all of us how big you really are. And how small I really am. How big you really are and how small my ideas really are. How big you really are and how small my opinions really are. Just remind us of how big you are. And we ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.